I don't have any qualms about that. You're too late. I got 16 years. You're just stupid if you don't have an appreciation for the teaching after I've taught a while. If you're so smart you don't need any of it, why aren't you teaching? So I expect after a while that people that are taught will say, hey, I'm going to pay my tuition. And $3,000 out of $55,000 is not a very big demand to lay on 55,000 king's houses that have already made a commitment that they will try to watch at least once a week and support. That's what a king's house is. And I try to keep my word with the audience. I expect them to keep their word to me. I'm not asking anything of those of you that tuned in the first time. You may wonder, what's going on? Well, it's something different than you normally see. You've got to at least credit that. That's why you stopped. I keep my word. I make it right up front what my goal is. I'm not here just to teach. I'm to teach the value of that which is taught. I mean, I could read or throw tape recordings of what I teach in a garbage can. I mean, I could be like another channel across town. I guess they think they're teaching because they talk Hughes into putting a microwave copy of a little Bible and a satellite up there 23,000 miles. The Hughes people laughed when they told me about it. Thought it's some kind of nut. Sending words out there is not my objective. I could do that laying on my back in a boat in the Lake of the Ozarks. Don't underestimate my ability. I could do that laying on a beach in Anguilla. I could do that riding a horse. Not more pleasant things than sitting here in front of these lights on this chair. I teach as a treasure hunter, seeking to find those that have the ability to fall in love with the eternal truths and like light more than darkness and have a capacity to respond to the teaching. I'm not satisfied if I don't get that result, which includes placing a value on what's taught. Anything to do with need, but I'd do with need. We wouldn't come in here and spend $7,000 a week to be in Albuquerque. How many of you are spending $7,000 a week to live in Albuquerque? Any of you in Albuquerque or Santa Fe spending $7,000 a week to live there? Spend $1,000 a day to be in Las Cruces, El Paso. I mean, if I did, I'd find better facilities than this chair. We don't try to hide what it costs. We're obviously not poor. We wouldn't be able to advance the money. We've been paying $1,000 a day to talk to you folks in Albuquerque. Been paying $1,000 a day to talk to you folks in Las Cruces and El Paso. And that doesn't count. That's just what we pay the station. That doesn't count the satellite costs, the equipment, the phones, all the other things that go into an operation of this magnitude. It doesn't count me. Somebody called, what's the money for? Well, it obviously ain't going to me. Until $7,000, $1,000 a day comes out of New Mexico, you ain't doing anything but paying the airtime in your town. Go ask the station what they're doing with the money. I ain't getting it. We are paying to be there. And we do it gladly to try to counteract the idiocy in the name of God that other people, that strange breed called television evangelists, have done to scar the body of Christ. Well, you're going to keep doing it forever? No, I'm not a martyr. I'm not stupid. I'm seeking to define the quality of people across America. I want to find how many cities are too stupid to support and how many are smart enough. And I'm willing to spend the time to find that out. You may think I'm on trial. I ain't on trial. I've already passed trial in the toughest city in the world for communication, Los Angeles. This is the city of one-night stands. I've been here 16 years. You're on trial, too. I'm here to teach, which includes what I'm doing right now. Instill habits. Find out if there are people across America that if they are treated straight, to deal with them with truth instead of gimmicks and lies and emotional harangues, they will respond. I don't ask station in New Mexico what they do with the $7,000 I send them. It's not my business. I bought airtime. I got my product. You're going to ask me what I do with the money. I won't put it in a missile and shoot it in the middle of the Pacific. It's my business. I want to buy watermelons and drop them on the heads of bureaucrats. The money part of that transaction is my business. You are paying for teaching received. That's why I don't ask you to pay until I do some teaching. But I've been doing quite a lot of teaching in Albuquerque and Santa Fe. And I'm going to be doing quite a lot in Las Cruces and El Paso. Now, this is the way we do it. I happen to think that what I do is worth more than the 30 minutes that Ted Koppel does every night. Nobody's asking him what he's doing with his $1 million plus. I happen to think what I do is more important than these idiot card readers on the news every night. You really want to see funny faces if somebody drop the idiot cards and make them have to wing it for a minute or two. And I got the guts to sit here and say, don't give me anything. Don't send anything in until I first taught you. Then after I've taught you. Join me in a crusade to elevate teaching to the dignity it ought to have. Ah, you're using some kind of psychology on me. I hope to hell I am. I am trying to educate that psyche of yours into understanding that the teaching we do is worth more than the rest of the garbage you get on television. And that the teaching we do doesn't have to piggyback on starving people in famine-torn countries. It doesn't have to piggyback on missionary work overseas. It doesn't have to piggyback on sending Bibles into Russia. It doesn't have to piggyback on orphans or any of those things. If we're going to get involved, as we have, with charity, we use our network, raise the money for the charity, let it go direct to the charity, and we don't touch any part of it. The money I raise here is a payment for teaching already delivered from people that have the good sense to know that teaching needs to be supported. We pay teachers while we pay rock stars. This country would change overnight. Best teacher in the world should be the highest paid man in the world, or woman. Now, you understand why and how we do it? I've been doing that way for a long, long time. And there are people that appreciate the teaching enough, they have provided the budget that let us come to these new cities, see if you've got a taste for teaching. Some tastes need to be cultivated. Gourmet food, fine wines. By the way, did you notice? There's a recent study that has been focusing in on the French. I mean, they eat the richest foods. They don't have a cholesterol problem. Don't have the heart attack problems that we have with our anxieties about cholesterol and fat. Man, the French, they just suck it in. And there are scientists that have found a correlation between wine at every meal. Now, I know it's impossible that Paul could have meant what he said. Take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Now, I've been examining that research. Some of the finer things in life you have to acquire a taste for. You know, if you're too ignorant to understand opera, or too untrained and sophisticated to have the ear to hear and appreciate classical music, that's your problem. You've got a great, vast area of life you're untrained in, and because you don't know anything about it, you can't enjoy it. Most people that are intelligent know you can learn to enjoy things in direct ratio with your knowledge about it. Interest is a concomitant of knowledge acquired. And some of the most enjoyable things take a little development to acquire the taste. Now, I've been developing a taste for turning the brain on, and a taste on the part of many people that forsook God years ago because of the institutional church and because of some of the idiocy and because of the do's and the don'ts and because of the hypocrisy, to take a new look at God, understand maybe he never left you and you certainly never left him. You left some of the claptrap. And you need to reacquire a taste, a thrilling taste, for God's control over history and the way in which most of the problems of life, God can help you in finding the answer. You don't have to close your mind to be a Christian, and you don't have to be a one-book man. Oh, I know it sounds good. He's a man of one book, the Bible. Well, you know, that's like a Muslim fanatic who carries only the Quran, thinks he wraps it on a broken leg, it'll heal him. Open your mind and do it with God's help. And I'm trying to develop a taste for that, and people that appreciate it will support it. And so you 3,000 that know that what I'm telling you is the truth, that have been sitting on your billfold tonight, you get it out and you get on the telephone. And you folks in New Mexico now, again, have heard it, and I hope are forming a judgment about the consistency with which we say it. We say it because we mean it. We don't want your support unless we teach you. We insist on being supported by those that we've taught for the reasons that we teach. And if there aren't enough in the community to support the airtime after we're there a while, that's all I really will look for when the time comes. Then go buy yourself a shortwave radio and listen to us there, because we're always going to be on shortwave radio. Or go buy a satellite dish and listen to us 24 hours a day off Westar 5, because we're always going to be up on satellite. But we've told you what we're paying to be on the station in your city, and we're going to stay a certain amount of time to see if there are enough people after that certain amount of time has passed that will value the teaching sufficient to say, for what I've taught, you can count on me. I'm going to try to watch once a week. I'm going to support. And you then will listen with awareness when I say I'm looking every week for 3,000 out of the vast number that have made commitments to make this week your week to call and say, you can count on me this week, Pastor. I'm doing my part. Now, that's what this is about. The music will play, so get on the phone and do it. I'm like all teachers. I got ticked off at my class tonight. I just teach in college. I was probably the toughest teacher on campus. Nobody moved in my class. I was glad to have a former student come by. The Sunday we had the former associate religious coordinator for George Bush, and he came by with Judd Jackson, and I didn't know when Judd came. I'd forgotten that he was a student of mine. So it was a chance for one of my former students of many years ago. Let me think how long ago that would have been. Over 40 years. Over 30 years. And he told you the classes were not only filled with those taking it for credit, but they were lined up down the hall with auditors trying to get in. And when they ticked me off, they knew it. I got ticked off tonight. I started last week saying, okay, I would like to start gathering up the loose ends and teach with some predictability, knowing you can't watch every night. So you can start predicting when I'm here on Monday night, I'm going to go back to teaching on the pyramids, and Tuesday night I'll finish the subject matter on the UFOs. Wednesday night, one of the nights Atlantis, so on. I don't mean that's all I'm going to do on those nights, but I'll start weaving those threads again. The trade-off, I said, is when the music plays and when I ask you to do your work, you compress it down, you get every phone in the room busy. Every one of you that knows you haven't called yet is one of the 3,000. You do it. You make your reservations for the cathedral, which are about halfway where they have to be. For me to have any confidence, I won't walk out on you on Sunday. And so the first hour, I was here ready to go, even started on the subject. And then when the music played and it was your turn to reciprocate, didn't do anything. So I've been ticked off ever since. Just decided I wouldn't teach anymore till I saw a demonstration of reciprocity. Go find yourself a hypocritical teacher that'll grin at you and say you're wonderful little... You little people out there, well, they hate your guts. When I'm mad, you know I'm mad. Somebody comes along, a married couple for 40 years, say we've never had a cross word between us. I'll bet they didn't have anything else with any life either. It goes with the territory. If you got a genuine relationship, you don't have enough feeling for somebody to get mad at him once in a while. You haven't got any feeling. Doesn't mean you have to kill him. I mean, I'd like to kill a few people that should have called tonight, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to sit here and stew a while. So you go on telephone. Till you make me happy, I ain't teaching.